Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson.
It's Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. On tonight's show, we'll talk with Marshall Goss, director for the Indiana Track and Field and Cross Country Hall of Fame Museum in Terre Haute. We will talk IU football, the Indianapolis Colts, the Indiana Pacers, and the Indy 11. We will have our Big Boys Moving High School scoreboard update, and we'll look ahead to the week in IU athletics. So, let's talk sports. We'll start with 10th-ranked Michigan State beating Indiana football 20-15 Saturday afternoon in Memorial Stadium. The Spartans came in 10th-ranked and had one of the most high-powered offenses in the country, and the Hoosier defense held them in check. Kenneth Walker III, the nation's leading rusher, 23 carries for 84 yards. Jaden Reed, one of the most dangerous returners in college football, 4 receptions for 70 yards, 2 punts for 11 yards, and 2 kickoffs for 24 yards. His counterpart, Jalen Naylor, 4 receptions for 22 yards, 1 kickoff for 8 yards. Quarterback Peyton Thorne, 14-26, 126 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. He threw his touchdown pass to Tyler Hunt. Hunt also threw a 15-yard pass to Thorne in the game that was a big play. Indiana led 9-7 at halftime after 3 Charles Campbell field goals, but Campbell missed a 50-yarder going into halftime. The Hoosiers were down 17-15 with 12:56. Stephen Carr had a touchdown run on 19 carries and 53 yards, 8 receptions for 43 yards. But Jack Tuttle, shovel pass to Peyton Hendershot, failed the 2-point conversion, and Michigan State was able to extend the lead with a Matt Coughlin field goal, his second of the game. Michigan State punted all 6 times in the first half. Cal Halliday picked off Jack Tuttle for the 30-yard touchdown return for the touchdown with 4:33 to go in the first quarter. Tuttle starting for Michael Penix Jr., 28-52, 188 yards, 2 interceptions. Ty Freifogel, 7 receptions for 65 yards. It doesn't get any easier for the Hoosiers. They host 6th-ranked Ohio State, who is 5-1 and 3-0 in the Big Ten, this Saturday night, 7:30 on ABC, and the game is sold out. The Indianapolis Colts beat the Houston Texans 31-3 for the first home win of the season Sunday afternoon at Lucas Oil Stadium. Carson Wentz, 11-20, 223 yards, and 2 touchdowns to Mo Ali Cox and Paris Campbell. Jonathan Taylor, 14 carries, 145 yards, 2 touchdowns. T.Y. Hilton comes back for the first time this season after a neck injury, 4 receptions for 40 yards, and Michael Badgley hits his first field goal. He replaces Rodrigo Blankenship, who is out with injury. It was a short week for the Colts, coming back from the Monday Night Football loss to the Baltimore Ravens, 31-25 in overtime. Colts led 25-9 with 12 minutes left in the first quarter before Lamar Jackson threw 2 touchdown passes and 2-point conversions to tie the game in regulation, and threw a touchdown pass to Marquise Brown to win the game. The Colts are 2-4 and travel to San Francisco next Sunday for Sunday Night Football, 8:20 on NBC. The Indiana Pacers kick off the NBA regular season Wednesday night at Charlotte, 7 p.m. You can see all but one Pacer regular season game on Bally Sports Indiana, and the other game, Tuesday, December 21st at Miami, will be broadcast on TNT at 7:30. The Pacers finished 2-2 in the preseason with wins over Cleveland on the road and Memphis at home, and losses at New York and Cleveland at home. And the Indy 11 beat Louisville City FC 1-0. The 11 are 9-14-7, 7th place in the Central Division. They host FC Tulsa in the final home match of the regular season on Saturday, 7 p.m., and you can see the game on WNDY Channel 23 in Indianapolis. A High school sports time. Let's check the Big Boys Moving Company local high school scoreboard. Big Boys Moving serves you with an attitude of gratitude. While in high school football, Bloomington North beat Southport 42-14 to finish the regular season at 6-3. The Cougars will have the week off. They will host Evansville North in the Class 5A sectional semifinal on October 29th. Bloomington South finishes the regular season at 6-2, lost to Indianapolis Chittard 42-7. The Panthers will also have the week off. They will travel to Castle October 29th for the sectional semifinal. Edgewood finished the year at 1-7, lost to Brown County 12-0 at home. They will play this Friday when they travel to Washington for the Class 3A first round sectional game. In boys soccer, Bloomington South beat Southport 4-1 on penalty kicks after a 1-1 draw in the Class 3A regional semifinal, but the Panthers lost to Castle 4-0 in the regional championship game at Seymour High School Saturday afternoon. In girls soccer, Bloomington South beat Columbus North 4-0 in the regional semifinal and then beat Castle in the Class 3A regional championship 4-1 on penalties after a 1-1 draw at Seymour to win the regional championship. They will go to semi-state to face Carmel at Seymour High School at 5 p.m. on Saturday. Girls volleyball, Bloomington South lost to Columbus East 3-1 in the Class 4A sectional first round. At Martinsville, Bloomington North beat East Central in the first round 3-0, lost to Columbus East 3-0 in the semifinals. Edgewood beat South Vermillion 3-0 in the first round at Owen Valley and then lost to Brownstown Central 3-1 in the Class 3A sectional semifinals. Lighthouse Christian lost to Lagodi 3-0 in the Class 1A sectional semifinals at Lagodi. So volleyball over for the Monroe County High Schools for the 2021 season. Girls Cross Country Regionals at Bedford North Lawrence. Northview wins the sectional with 38 points. Bloomington North second with 55. Bloomington South third with 82. And Junior Lily Myers wins the individual title with a time of 19:06. Terre Haute South and Edgewood tied for fourth with 121 points and all advanced to the Brown County Semi-State this Saturday. Boys Cross Country Regionals at Bedford North Lawrence. Northview wins the sectional with 51 points. Bloomington South second with 54. Bloomington North third with 57. Terre Haute South with 107. Bloomfield 162 points for fifth and all advanced to the Brown County Semi-State this Saturday. Edgewood was sixth with 166 and will not advance. In boys tennis, Bloomington South Juniors Chris Leon and Michael Ashflin won the individual title at Bedford North Lawrence, beat Baylen Graft and Ryan Schulte of Bloomfield 6-0, 6-0. And in the semifinal, they beat Donald Trey Fulton and Spencer Lanahan of Evansville Rice 6-2, 6-2. Paris 13-0 on the season advanced to the state quarterfinals this Friday at Carmel High School. That is a look at our high school scoreboard brought to you by Big Boys Moving Company. When we come back, we'll talk with Marshall Goss, director for the Indiana Track and Field and Cross Country Hall of Fame Museum in Terre Haute. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479 or online at bbmoving812.com.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
Hi, this is former IU women's basketball player Amanda Cahill, and I listen to Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. It is time to welcome in my guest. He is director of the Indiana Track and Field and Cross Country Hall of Fame Museum in Terre Haute. He is Marshall Goss. Marshall, it is a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
Well, thanks for having us. This is a great passion of mine, and I'd love to talk about it.
So you were a 2016 Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame inductee. You coached at Bloomington High School and Bloomington South in both track and cross country. What got you started in track and cross country and has continued this passion for a long, long time?
I come from a family of basketball players and from Martinsville, Indiana. And if you're that, you're supposed to be a basketball player. I wasn't that good. So I had to find my own niche. It happened to fall in the line of track and field. I first tried baseball, and I would go over after a baseball practice and race anybody in track from the team. My freshman year, seldom was I defeated. And then I decided that after my sophomore year in basketball, that I should take all my time towards the sport of track and field and distance running in particular, but I did do other things.
What was your specialty? Which distances were you good at?
Well, in high school, I was a miler. We didn't have the 2 mile, but we did have cross country. I was a cross country runner. And at college, I dropped down. Usually you go up, but I dropped down to the 400 and 800. Was very, very fortunate to be able to run into three NAIA championships during my 4 years of college.
What got you involved in coaching? Where did you decide that coaching was where you wanted to go in your future life?
Actually, Tony Wooden was a friend of the family's, and he was always somebody that we admired in Martinsville, and I kind of wanted to follow in his footsteps. In fact, I wanted to at first be a basketball coach. However, my very first basketball coaching job, I got fired before my first practice. That's an interesting story, but we'll save that for later.
Now, being from Martinsville, Martinsville and Bloomington South now are big rivals. So how did it feel when you landed at Bloomington and now Bloomington South going up against Martinsville year in and year out?
Well, actually, it really wasn't that much. We were very fortunate against Martinsville all my years of coaching. Only 1 year did they have a team that really could run with us. I'm not sure of the year, but just one. And I think we were, in the 18 years that I coached at South before going to IU, we won 17 of the cross-country championships in the South Central Conference.
And that's a pretty good conference because your rival Bloomington North has quite the cross-country and track and field tradition as well.
Right. However, I came in a little before Charlie Worthen appeared on the scene. So it wasn't as tough back in those days as it is now. He's done a great job up there, as has Larry Williams in taking over for me at South.
What have you noticed over the years as the track and field and cross country has evolved from your younger days to now your coaching days and now in your later years?
Well, actually, what I really see is that we as coaches had really better get on the stick. We're losing a lot of schools. I just did a survey of this past sectional across country, and I found that 38% of the girls' teams did not even finish a complete team in the cross country. 25% of the boys didn't finish a complete team. I feel there's basically three reasons for that. Number one is coaching, of course. Number two is athletic directors, if they can get rid of, not all of them, but many of them, if they can get rid of a sport, it makes their job easier and they don't really push for it. Number three probably is that we've added, continued to add sports. I remember back in the late 70s when a friend of mine coached at Oregon, was doing a clinic, and up in the corner of his paper, he had a picture of a soccer player. And underneath it, he says, "I found the enemy." So I think that's some of the reasons for our decline in our sport. However, quality, we're right at the top. You realize 2 years ago, the state champion in cross country was sixth in the Olympics this year. And Cole did a great job. He actually ran the seventh fastest time ever run by an American. It was just an awesome, awesome one. And we've had others. Terry Brom from Heritage Hills, Olympian. And we go down through. In fact, we have a very proud 51-member Olympic squad from Indiana runners.
You're talking about Cole Hawker from Cathedral High School in the University of Oregon, ran well in the Tokyo Olympics. Who are some of the athletes that you've watched over the years that you would, you know, either you've coached against, or just watched that are your favorites?
Number one has definitely got to be David Bowles from Bloomington South. He broke the American record in the pole vault. He had injuries during the 74, 78, and 88 Olympics and stayed on to make the 92 Barcelona and place fifth at Barcelona. David Bowles may have been one of the very, very, very best athletes to ever come out of the state of Indiana. He could do everything. I know one time I was talking with him, and he says, you know, Steve Kinzer is a great race car driver, but he says, you know, I think I can beat him if I was racing week from week because I have better reflexes than he has. Always stuck with me. And that's the way he was in anything that he participated in.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the best athletes. And of course, it goes down to his two sons who have had great pole vaulting careers in college as well. Who did you look to when you were younger? Who did you like growing up?
Well, there was a lot. Can I look towards the Indiana track team? When I was in a small school at Indiana Central, I had been offered a partial scholarship to Indiana, but thought the school was big for me coming from a small town. So at Indiana Central, I looked towards fellows like Navern Willie, who had won the state from Columbus, Indiana, and was running at IU at the time, and all of the different ones. Lowell Zellers was another one which I looked. But probably one that I ran with quite a bit was Max Truex, who was also an Indiana Olympian from Warsaw, Indiana, went to Southern Cal. Max had a stardom career there. Injury hit him, but he ran in both the 56 and 60 Olympics.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Marshall Goss after this quick timeout. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Are you spending more time at home these days? If so, then you'll want to consider having your carpets professionally cleaned. Brothers Carpet Cleaning has been the region's premier cleaner for nearly a decade. Their truck-mounted systems are the most effective to remove bacteria, allergens, and pet dander. Brothers Carpet Cleaning will professionally clean your carpet, tile, upholstery, and wood. When it has to be clean, call Brothers Carpet Cleaning. Online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan. From newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
Hi, I'm Coach Jay McCool, defensive coordinator for the Indiana Cutters semi-pro football team, and I listen to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Welcome back back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. My guest, Marshall Goss, director for the Indiana Track and Field and Cross Country Hall of Fame Museum in Terre Haute. Marshall, we were talking about some of the athletes to come out of Indiana. You, of course, are the director of the Indiana Track and Field Cross Country and Hall of Fame Museum. You were also a founder. So what made you decide that this was what you wanted to do and have this museum for track and field and cross country?
Well, actually, we started inducting people into the Hall of Fame back in 1974. But for 37 years, we had no place to actually display their bios or the pictures or artifacts of theirs. We had looked for many places to have the museum, but a museum is very costly. Finally, I had an idea that we would possibly put the pictures and the bios in the Wabash Valley Sports Center, which was right on the state cross country course. And I approached a person who had developed the cross country course in the sports building, Greg Gibson. So we had a meeting, four of us met, and Greg said, after we got started, it would not be at the cross country course. I was really shocked. But he said, we have a better place. It seems as if one of the exhibits had moved out of the convention and visitors of Bureau building, and it left a space. So we were very fortunate to get the space 11 years ago. And from there, we have started to develop what we have.
So Terre Haute, tell us how big the museum actually is and what are the hours and how much does it cost to go visit?
It is it's small in size. We have six rooms. It's just crammed with a lot of history of the sport. Actually, when we started, we had three basic objectives. It was to honor, to preserve the history, and to educate people on track and field. We think we're doing a great job of all three. As I said, I have six rooms for different phases. Probably some of the most interesting ones is the Olympic room, which has pictures and bios of all of the 51 Indiana track and field Olympians. Stories about all of them. We've written a book on Indiana track and field Olympians. 48 and counting has to be revised to 51 now after the past year. We're open from 8 until 4, Monday through Friday, and any special occasion when there's a meet or some interesting thing going on in Terre Haute. We will be open at the state cross country championships on October the 30th. We'll have 500 or so people go through the museum on that Friday and Saturday. We have other special occasions during the year. Also have the induction of the Hall of Fame members each year. The past year was in Terre Haute. We hope to keep it there. And we had about 300 go through on that weekend. It's right there. It's probably the least known of our sports history areas. We thank you for publicizing it.
Oh, my pleasure. You got to hold a special meet a couple weeks ago at the cross-country course called the Nike Twilight Meet, where you had several kids from several states. Why don't you just share a little bit about that meet? Because it's a special meet and a fun meet.
Yeah, it is. It actually was picked up by Dave Patterson, one of the four founders. He was the director of the Terre Haute Convention and Visitors Bureau, and he actually puts on all the meets at the cross country course. Sponsored by Nike, they had 36 light bays throughout the course, which lit it up dark in the spectators area. Just real an interesting concept of running. Of course, got about 3 inches of rain that particular day. Everybody left very, very pleased with the outcome, even though the rain was coming down hard.
What's the website for the museum?
Just go into Indiana Track and Field Museum, and it'll come right up, or just Google it, and it'll come up with that. We have two, sites. Not too happy with one, but for some reason, I'm not that good at getting rid of it. But anyway, yes. And please feel free to call for a special tour. I give them regularly. Tell a lot of stories. We have one celebrating the past. And I will tell you one very quick story here. Most people know Dick Van Dyke as an actor, but Dick Van Dyke as a freshman and moved to, from Danville, Illinois to Crawfordsville, Indiana. While at Crawfordsville during the Purdue Wabash track meet, Wabash in 1942 ran out of runners for the 4x4. The high school coach said he had a young man who had just moved in and he could run fourth man for Wabash. Those days, the rules were very lax. He came out of the stands, took off his shoes and socks, took the baton 5 meters behind, and actually beat Purdue's number four runner. He then went transferred back to Danville as a sophomore, went out for track, found out he had a heart murmur, and changed to become a thespian. We have kinds of stories like that that we tell. And we've researched. In fact, I'm researching one right now on a fellow from Gary Roosevelt, Shag Courtney. Shag Courtney won the national championships in 1930 in track and field at the All Negro Championships in North Carolina by himself. He was just a great athlete. After college, he joined the Elm Globetrotters, and the spinning of the ball on the finger was developed by Shag Courtney, along with the rolling of the ball around the neck and down the arm. He played 3 years for the Globetrotters. The pay was not so good. Pay was much better in Gary Steel Mills. He had 7 children and educated them all through college. Great story. Those are the kinds of things that we tell throughout the museum.
And that's what makes the Hall of Fame museums in any sport fun, is all the stories and the history. Real quick, you're a 2016 Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame inductee for coaching. You and I sat at the same table this summer for the annual banquet. I know that you and your wife support the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame a lot. What does it mean to you to be inducted into the Hall of Fame here in Monroe County, where so many coaches, athletes, contributors, and humanitarians have been?
Actually, it means a lot because you're selected by your peers, and that means that you've done something that was good for the community, good for the sport. And I think that's the greatest honor that coach or an athlete can have, is to still remember their past and look towards the future.
Well, Marshall, I really appreciate you taking the time. Congratulations on your track and field cross country Hall of Fame museum. Best of luck with the state championships coming up. Hopefully we can do this again soon. I thank you very much for the time.
Well, thank you.
My thanks to Marshall Goss for being my guest this week. IU Volleyball hosts Michigan 7 p.m. Wednesday and Rutgers Sunday at 2 o'clock. Men's soccer hosts Evansville 7 p.m. Wednesday and Wisconsin Sunday at 1 o'clock. Women's soccer hosts Rutgers 7 p.m. on Thursday and at Purdue Sunday at 1 o'clock. Field hockey hosts St. Louis at noon Friday and at Ohio at 11 a.m. Women's tennis at the ITA Regional Championships in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Thursday through Monday. Men's golf at the Williams Cup in Wilmington, North Carolina, next Monday and Tuesday. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thanks to our sponsors. On behalf of the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Nick Jenkinson. Join us throughout the week on social media and every Monday night right here for more Talkin' Sports.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.